This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Now, our guest today is a familiar face from the TV shows Selamat Pagi Malaysia and Hello On 2. But of course, you can't see her because we are a radio show, so she's also quite a familiar voice from the days of Bernama Radio's hot seat. It's my pleasure to speak with broadcast journalist and author Zaleha Khairin Ismail. Welcome to the show, Zaleha.
Thanks, it's good to be back.
So tell us a little bit about your background, first of all. What led you to become a broadcast journalist?
Well, you know, when we were kids, you know, there's always options of what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, a lot of people know right from the start, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse. But I guess growing up in the Asian community, you know, they will also just get your degree first and then you can figure out, you know, what to do later. There was never a set moment, but I knew I've always loved writing. And I've always loved the creative industry. And I was raised by a broadcast journalist. My aunt is a broadcast journalist who also married a broadcast journalist.
So it's in the family.
It's in the family. It's not a bad thing. By influence, I saw her, you know, do her job day in and day out. And I thought, hey, that looks interesting. But the problem was, as much as I loved writing and as much as I loved all the creative work, I was such a shy kid growing up. I couldn't talk to people, which would not work if you want to work in this industry, right? But eventually, I got over it and attended my first audition. It started as a part-time job. I did not take mass communication. I actually took computer science.
Yes. So how did you go from learning computer science and studying that to a career like yours? I mean, there must have been some difficulty adapting, perhaps?
Yeah, actually, there was a glitch. I didn't even apply for computer science. I actually applied for something else, but that was the only major offer in the university. Mm-hmm. So I just, take it and, you know, we'll figure out the plan later. But even when I was studying in computer science, all my elective subjects always been language, French, Russian, Spanish.
Yes.
It's always been towards the creative side. And one day there was an open audition and I thought I wanted to join. So I went, but funny enough, I bailed because I thought I was not ready. I went to the gate and I saw about 300 people queuing. I was like, wow, no way, no, I'm going to do this thing. And then I went back and that kind of like got to me for a while. So I regretted not doing it.
So how long was it before you actually went for a proper audition?
Oh, lucky me, there was another ad 2 months later. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, this is it. No more regrets. I'm just going to show up whether I got it or not. It doesn't matter. At least I have no regrets. But before that, I did a lot more prep work than before. So I went to see my aunt. She, you know, trained me how to read news, how to read with the proper intonations, you know, to do ad-lib, stand-up reporting at, you know, on the spot, which is required during auditions. So this time I came with an MO. So I was like, I'm ready for this. And I went in the day after they called me and I was reading news, primetime news a week after that.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a lot of journey of overcoming shyness, though. But it just goes to show when people think, oh, I can't do this job because I'm shy, I'm not really confident. That's not an excuse for people not to pursue, you know, the job that they wanted.
And that doesn't necessarily have to be a barrier to you succeeding in this industry, even though a broadcast journalist means that you have to interview a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's not so much whether or not you enjoy talking to people, right? It's a skill.
Yeah, and holding your end of the conversation as well. And the other thing is people always say, oh, I'm not a mass comm student. There's no way I can, you know, join this industry. That's not true. The people that I've hired in the past who came to audition, I've hired architecture graduates, food technology graduates. I think as long as you put your mind to it and you're willing to learn the new tricks, there's always a room for anyone who's interested in this line of work.
So you started out in TV3.
Yes, Media Prima. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't Media Prima back then. It was TV3. And then I went to Channel 9. And then Channel 9 bought over by Media Prima again. So I went to TV9 and then stayed there for a while. And then read news for TV3. And I made the jump to radio.
Yes.
Bernama Radio.
So what was that like, going from TV to radio and then subsequently back to
TV? Yeah. Radio, the first few weeks was a bit nerve-wracking because I came in with zero. Different machines, different style of presenting. Radio, I think people take it for granted so much because there's so much work that needs to be done and there's no visual backup. You can't pause, and you know everything needs to be on point. Not that TV. I mean, you know, it goes in for TV, but radio needs a lot more planning than TV. But it was really worth it because during the stint at the radio station, I get to do a wider portfolio of shows. You know, from consumer shows to politics to entertainment. So despite it being, you know, not having the visual backup, it was a good learning experience. But yeah, I miss TV. So I started scouting for auditions after that. And RTM was, no, RTM did not have any audition. I just muscled my way. Are you guys looking for anyone? And then, yeah, it started from there, 2008. And yeah, I'm still there now.
And so just talking a little bit about RTM, because RTM is the state broadcaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've been there for around 10 years now.
11 this year.
And how has that been like, actually? You mentioned before that you worked under four different communication ministers.
Yes, yes. I started when Tan Sri Raisyatim was the Minister of Communications, followed by Datuk Sri Shabri Chik, and then Datuk Sri Saleh Syed Kerak, and now we have YB Gobind Singh Dio. There have four ministers. That's a lot of changes, but I would say, regardless of who's heading the ministry, the changes or the dynamics need to be adjusted by the ones at the mm-hmm. lower level. You can't rely on the top because they've got other policies to think of.
Yeah, and they have to keep in view perhaps the overarching plan for the station or RTM, right? Mm-hmm. So it's up to the people on the lower rungs to actually implement those policies.
Yeah, of course. And of mm-hmm. course, it takes a lot of political will as well. People scrunch up their nose. Oh, why did you go to a state broadcaster? Aren't things more conventional there? Yes and no. We actually have a lot more freedom when it comes to hosting, when it comes to delivering our points. And of course, we're still on the lookout for, you know, the younger generations of hosts and broadcast journalists, which has been quite a challenge, actually.
But what has it been like since GE14? Because you mentioned that it's an adjustment with every new minister that comes in.
Yeah.
But with Gobind Singh Dio, it's not just the fact that he's a new minister. He is an entirely different administration and with mm-hmm. a completely different set of priorities, one would expect. So yeah. How did that change the culture at RTM?
It's a bit more easygoing, I must say. There's a lot more freedom to express mm-hmm. our thoughts. Even when YB Gobind Singh stepped into office, he actually said, you know, a lot of changes need to be done. I'm not speaking on behalf of the station, just speaking on behalf of someone who's been there for 11 years. And that I think is a welcome change. But of course, it needs a lot of commitment from a lot of people. And I guess when we have employees or, you know, managers who have been working in a certain style or, you know, have inherited mm-hmm. certain, you know, mindset, that will need to be adjusted as well.
We're speaking to Zaleha Karin Ismail, author of the book How I Became a Broadcast Journalist, and she's here talking about her experiences in the media industry. Now, we'll be right back in a little while with more interviews and more fascinating analysis, so be sure to stay tuned to The Morning Run at BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Today, we're speaking to Zaleha Karin Ismail about her experiences that led to her book, How I Became a Broadcast Journalist. Now, earlier we were talking about what it's like moving between different types of media and organizations. And now I'd like to shift our focus to something you mentioned in the first part of this interview, Zaleha, which was that it's very difficult to find talent because RTM has been on the lookout, I understand, for more English-speaking hosts. Why has that been so difficult?
I'm as baffled as anyone else. Aside from RTM, I think all the other TV networks are facing the same thing. So the funny thing is they ended up pinching our hosts, or we ended up pinching their hosts, because it's a small industry. What I find amusing is that every 3 months or 4 months, there's always, you know, a pencarian wajah, the search for the new face of the station. Even the minister said, you know, always give, you know, a new lease of life, or, you know, give a new look to the station, younger, fresher, you know, a more, I don't know, exciting impression of the station. But I don't know, when we have some, every time we have the audition, 300 people will show up, but we'll be lucky to get, I don't know, one or two. I think it stems from the English proficiency among the candidates. Maybe those who are fluent aren't interested to join the TV stations. Those who still need a lot of work when it comes to presenting in English, they're there. But for some reason, not everyone is willing to put in the hard yards. TV presenting is a lot of hard work. There's a lot of extra effort that needs to be done, and not many people can actually pull it through.
Yeah, because I guess the impression of TV presenting, and I guess also radio presenting in a way, is just you only see the front man, but you don't see a lot of the workings behind the scene. So what would you say are some important characteristics for someone to succeed at becoming a TV host?
Well, one, you gotta love news. You gotta love information. There's always, there must be this thirst for always knowing what's happening around the world, what's happening around us. There's always this curiosity that needs to be fixed. Unfortunately, what I observed, well, having auditioned people for the past 10 years, people want to come in. They're so excited to be on TV. They're excited to look good, but the research and the homework, they're not there. So all they think is just, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back. See you after this. Kembali bersama kami. You know, that just the template lines. There's a lot of damage control, if I can say. Okay. What happens when the guests don't show up? What happens when, you know, the guests go off rails? What happens when, you know, an equipment fall behind you at the set? There's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that happen in the studio. And it takes someone who's, you know, ready for whatever that whatever things that been that's being thrown their way. And that's like finding a unicorn. It's really hard.
Yeah, because you mentioned that there are 300 people turn up to auditions.
At least 300 people will show up. We'll be lucky to get two. But that's not it. That's not just, it doesn't end there. Just because they got in, they got into the finalist list, then there comes a sustainability factor. You know, once they got on the roster, can they, you know, sustain and continue presenting or delivering what's needed from them? I've seen hosts got hired in January. By March, they're out. I've seen hosts hired in January, didn't even make it to screen. One mistake of, you know, boo-boo mistake on air. TV stations all around Malaysia, they're not very forgiving, which is understandable, I suppose.
So you mentioned that you need to love the news, but is there some other key factor that helps you to maintain that sort of endurance that would allow you to become a successful TV host?
What I've observed from those who made it, they are really easy to work with, and there's always this willingness to think. I know it sounds so cliche when you say you got to think beyond the box, you know, think outside the box. But the ones who are always eager to bring something new every day. Because, yeah, of course, we present news every day, but there's always new things happening every day. But you got to come to the show thinking, how different can my show be today? And not many people are capable of that, unfortunately. They come in, hey, guys, hey, good morning, blah, 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 and then they finish their show and that's it.
They think the job's done.
Yeah, there's no take-home point. There's no sense of ownership to what's being presented. You gotta treat it like it's your baby. You know, this is valuable because we have this amazing, you know, responsibility to shape the minds of the viewers and the listeners. So to have someone that has that much passion is really hard to find.
Now, you've written a book, How I Became a Broadcast Journalist, and this was published in 2017.
Yeah.
And so what made you decide to write this book in the first place? This is your second book, in fact.
Yeah, this is my second book. I didn't plan it to go to print, to be honest, because this was like a compilation of, you know, note to self memos, how to mm-hmm. survive auditions, what are the things that we should think of before we sign the dotted line with the network, with the station, and what are the things behind the scene that, you know, we can expect. When we go for overseas assignment, there are a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. So it kind of like compiles what life is like behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just break it into three parts: before joining, while you're in the career, and what happens when you retire. So a lot of people, I see a lot of disgruntled hosts coming in, hosting for 10 years, but then at the end of the day, there's nothing much for them. And then they start to question, how come that person is progressing so much? How come she's hosting so many shows? And how come I'm not, you know, I'm still here doing the same show? And there are hosts who are just taken off the roster, just like that. Which has happened in TV stations in this country. So I this is like a gift to people who are aspiring, who wants to be in this line of work, but this is probably shed a better light mm-hmm. to them before you join in. These are the things that you have to consider if you really want to be in this line of work. Here's the way your public holidays doesn't exist anymore. Birthdays, anniversaries, childbirth, you know, we tend to miss these things where we're in this line of work. I haven't had a high raya for 10 years now, especially when I'm local, so...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which is fine. But finding the right partner to be in this line of work, who needs to be understanding, there's a pattern. Either you marry someone from the station, or you marry late, or you don't get married at all. Because it's a really taxing job. The hours can be long when you first start out. And eventually, you know, as we get more senior. And of course, the book talks about grabbing opportunities when it's there. People have this, you know, being Asians, I suppose. I don't
yeah.
know. If they don't come to us, I don't want to go lah. You know, I don't want to audition. I bulldoze my way into every single audition because, no, if you don't look out for yourself, no one's going to look out for you. And sometimes producers, oh, yeah, I want you for my show. It just didn't cross my mind that you're
right,
available.
Yep.
So we got to overcome this shyness and you can't take no for an answer. So it's sharing or telling people to be a little bit braver.
So your book, you could say that it's a handbook for those looking to start out in the industry, as well as perhaps giving a useful pointers for those who are already in the industry at different points in their careers.
Yep.
But what would you also say to those who worry that traditional media houses may be in trouble? Because, for example, Media Prima, where you started out, they haven't been doing very well. Their first quarter results were not that good. They are looking to shift some of their strategies towards a more digital focus. Strategy. So what would you say in that regard? What are your observations of the trajectory of the media industry as is right now?
I think there's every likelihood that traditional media will have to pivot their way somehow into digital media, because well-informed listeners, readers, viewers, we now want things on the spot. We can look for it. We don't have to go in front of the TV anymore. And it's, I'm pleased to see that all the TV stations have taken the digital step and now we can watch TV anywhere we go. But before we get all excited about technology, going into, you know, digital media, having live streaming and all that, I would like to ask all the content providers, what exactly are we channeling in these platforms? Because wireless is meaningless when it's hitless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if with this great technology, I must say, having observed, I do skip, you know, I try to browse TV channels from time to time.
Yeah.
The programs that are being aired right now have a lot, it leaves a lot to be desired. There's no more, you know, of that compelling documentaries. Even news presenting is so, it's so staccato now. Everything is just like robotic.
Yeah.
So there's no soul to it. So, but of course, you know, how is one person going to change all this? but yeah, digital media is the way to go. I just wish that there's not much noise that we have to filter through to get to what we want.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Zeliha Kyrene Ismail, a TV personality and author of the book, How I Became a Broadcast Journalist. And that's all we have on Pressing Matters on The Morning Run today. Stay tuned for BFM 89.9 at the Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.